You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on heritageradionetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Rooftop Update, and we have a special guest today, Chase, who's going to be giving us the lowdown on the Grange's bees. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
So just so folks out there listening know, what is your role at the farm?
Okay, so I'm one of the managing partners, as well as my side gig is the apiary director, and that's kind of a fancy term for beekeeper. And I oversee all of our beehives and our training programs for burgeoning beekeepers and our honey extraction and bottling and basically all things bee-related.
Nice. So how did you get into the bee world?
It's a long story. The short version is some years ago, a friend of mine called me one day and said, "Dude, I got a beehive." And my response, being a born and raised New Yorker, was, "Dude, are you expletive insane?" And he said, "No, come check it out. I know you. You'll love it." Checked it out for a day, realized it was super cool, easier than having a cat, and had some land up in western Massachusetts where I could kind of just like freely do it, and kind of got into it as a hobby.
Nice.
And when I got connected with the Grange, it was right after beekeeping was re-legalized in New York City in 2010, and I realized there was a really viable revenue stream and business model for the Grange, and so I took my hobby and turned it into a business.
Excellent. So what's happening with the beehives at the Grange these days?
Okay, well, our main center of beekeeping activity is within the Brooklyn Navy Yard. They were, when we got connected with the Navy Yard to build our second rooftop farm, they were also really all about getting beehives in the Navy Yard. Like, they literally were saying, you know, "We want beehives," as opposed to we had to bring the idea to them. And pretty quickly realized with 300 acres of land that encompasses the Navy Yard, there was plenty of space and rooftops to set up Loda hives. So now we've got about 35 hives that are just kicking, doing great, producing a whole lot of honey, and this is actually the time of year when everyone starts harvesting their honey, so all the hard work of their bees all summer long, and now it's time for the bees to pay their rent, so to speak, and that's what we're in the midst of doing right now.
So take us through a little bit that harvesting process. I mean, what does that look like, and what type of equipment do you need to have to make that work?
Well, it can be as simple as what the ancient Romans and Egyptians were doing, which was they pull out the honeycomb with their hands and they kind of crush it up and maybe run it through some cheesecloth or something so that they can filter out the wax bits, and bingo, you've got some honey. Or on a much larger scale, like we do, we pull out the ripe frames of honey, and what that really means is one of those if you've ever seen a filing cabinet, that's what a beehive looks like, but it's got 10 frames in it, and the bees kind of fill each frame with honey and cap it off, pull those out, scrape that capping, so we're essentially releasing the honey, and put it in a big extractor, like a centrifuge, and set them up in the centrifuge. Our centrifuge can hold 18 frames at once, which is nice, and turn it on, let it spin for half an hour, and kind of like cotton candy, it just centrifuges it all out, leaving the dry, empty honeycomb, which we can then put right back in the beehives, and if it's a good season, the bees might turn around and fill them right back up again.
Ooh, nice. So what are the, like, you guys obviously are producing honey up on a roof. How is that going to impact the taste or the texture or the production as opposed to a more traditional hive location?
Well, interestingly, and it's kind of counterintuitive, I wouldn't have thought this myself until I started reading up on it, but there have been some studies done, there was one in Tokyo and one in Paris, where they found that the urban bees were actually healthier and more productive than the country bees. And you kind of say to yourself, like, huh, how does that work? And when you then think about it and you realize, well, generally humans plant huge monocultures in the country, you know, especially in farming country, and to a bee, if the monoculture happens to be a bee-friendly plant, it's only blooming for maybe 2 weeks of the entire season. So all the rest of the summer, it's a desert to the bee, because unless a plant is actually blooming, there's no nectar and there's no pollen. So there's that simple fact of just food variety available to the bees in the country. But then the other big insidious problem is all the agrochemicals that are being used. So pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides that industrial agriculture has to use, even small-scale agriculture has to use. And more the science is showing that the buildup of these toxins in the wax honeycomb, as well as some of the neonicotinoids, I always mispronounce that, that instantly kind of make the bees loopy and ultimately die. So you get all those chemicals in the country in agricultural territory, but within cities, everyone's planting everything for ornamental purposes, which means it's blooming all year long, and almost none of those chemicals are used. So cities are actually amazing places for beehives. So as far as taste, New York City has kind of a very unique honey taste, and it's based on the linden tree. So the Parks Department, city plants loads of linden trees all over line the streets, and linden has kind of a distinctively minty, fruity kind of flavor, and most New York City honey, even harvested later in the season after the lindens have bloomed, has a pretty distinctive linden taste to it.
Nice. Well, Chase, thank you so much for taking some time out. Did we miss anything? Anything folks should be sure to know? I mean, maybe most importantly, where can they get some of this delicious honey?
Okay, well, our honey is available at our various farm stands that you can see where they are and when they are through our website at brooklyngrangefarm.com. But the biggest news is that in 2 weekends, Rockaway Beach, we are going to have our 3rd annual New York City Honey Festival. So that'll be on Saturday, September 7th at the 86th Street Concessions Building. People might know it as the one that has Rippers, the restaurant Rippers, in it. And we're going to have a whole day of honey-based bee-themed festivities, beekeepers from all over the country and the region selling their hive products, their honey, honey tastings, bands, movies, the whole thing. It's going to be a day-long event. It's going to be awesome.
Wow, sounds like I'm like really restraining from using a lot of buzz and hive jokes here, and I just want to get credit for that. Thank you so much for joining us, Chase. It was really great to connect with you, and please keep us in the loop about what's happening on the rooftop of the Grange and with your bees throughout the rest of the year. Thanks a lot.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.